is Dan Minahan, and I'm director on Game of Thrones.
My name is Peter Dinklage, and I am the Tyrion Lannister of Game of Thrones.
Hi, my name is Emilia Clarke, and I'm playing Daenerys Targaryen in Game of Thrones.
I'm Harry Lloyd. I'm Viserys Targaryen, her horrible brother.
Wow, he's not playing, he is.
Oh, crap, well, you were playing. Oh, damn.
I think this is a very beautiful opening.
The credits are wicked.
Yeah.
They're very cool.
Like a big mechanical pop-up book.
It reminds me of a lot of the Lego I played with when I was little.
Wow.
I used to have like proper cities and stuff.
Really?
Really? Did they grow on their own, like these trees?
You came from great wealth.
Yeah. just me in my attic room.
I used to have a large ice wall around my room.
Did you have a workable lift?
I did. I'll tell you how it worked later.
How many of these producers did you meet, Amelia? Because there are about 12 of them.
I'm still not sure what a producer does, frankly.
I met quite a few, actually. They're all lovely, by the way.
I love it also for the different episodes, how they introduce the different locations.
Yeah.
Pentos in the first one, and then now we've moved to Vyas Dothrak, so they just set it up, and when they've gone to the Eyrie, kind of just sets it all up at the beginning.
Yeah.
I want to see more, though. I want to see the rest of the world. Mm.
The title of this episode is A Golden Crown, which is a tip to Viserys in the end.
Who names the episodes? Was it all done from the start?
Dan and David.
Yeah.
Here we find Ned Stark waking up after being attacked by Jaime Lannister and his men.
Sweaty.
In a fever dream. There was a wonderful flu coursing through the set at this time on the day we shot this.
Was this in Malta?
This was shot in Belfast.
Oh.
On the day that we shot this, Sean Bean had come down with the flu.
Oh, wow.
Which seemed to work for the scene.
Good time.
Yeah.
He's so committed.
He gave himself flu.
He caught the flu for the scene, I heard.
Hardcore British actor there.
Yeah.
In the foreground, you can see his injured leg, which kind of figures prominently in the unraveling of Ned Stark as the Lannisters kind of pick at him over the course of the rest of the season.
Is this meant to be his, Ned Stark's, private chamber? Have we been in here before?
Yeah, this is the Chamber of the Hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he wakes up after taking Milk of the Poppy and finds the king and the queen standing there waiting to address him.
This is one of my favorite lines that Mark Eddy says.
I took you for a king.
Hold your tongue.
He's attacked one of my brothers and abducted the other. I should wear the armor, and you the gown.
Isn't
That's
it?
Your favorite line.
No, this line.
That wasn't a line. Here.
This line here.
I shall wear this like a badge of honor.
Wear it in silence, or I'll honor you again.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Good writing.
Smacks it.
Oh, they have unfinished business here.
I like the relationship.
Me too.
Is it in this episode or is it in 5, that lovely long kind of 8-page scene, just the two of them acknowledging how rubbish their marriage is, which came in kind of later on in the during the shoot?
Yeah, I think that's in episode 5, isn't it?
Yeah, that's episode 5.
I loved that. I thought that was a top scene.
So good.
That was not...
Did he have a fake padding, Mark?
I think it was a combination of the... of real and padding.
Way to tiptoe.
Because he's actually very svelte.
I thought that was
he
a beautiful costume because he kind of looks sort of trapped in it and uncomfortable in
it. Yeah, it looks too tight.
Claustrophobic.
It? Well, there's that scene in 4 when you actually see his belly popping out.
So
and
good.
I can never tell, is that his real belly? That looks so tight and bloated.
That's
and
one of my favorite scenes is when he's making the guy find the armor stretcher.
Yeah, yeah. Find the breastplate stretcher. Yeah.
In the books, isn't the king like 7 feet tall or something? Seem to remember it's like
he's
much bigger
black hair
than Mark actually is, but
yeah.
I think it's just the way Mark plays it, so it seems it's so much bigger than life.
He's got the voice of a man, kind of bigger than him.
He just appears bigger. He seems bigger than he actually is.
And also, yeah, when the rest of the court in King's Landing is so slimy and slippery to someone who's just full of bombast and drinks and, you know, shags ladies, he's kind of larger than life.
Yeah. And Sean Bean is sweatier than life. I never loved my
sad thing for a man to admit, but it's true.
I think Sean and Mark went to school together. They've known each other for quite some time.
Yeah, they've known each other for a long time.
Was it drama school or actual school?
I think that really helped.
I think they went to drama school together, yeah, and they've acted together so many times.
Yeah.
They're so sweet together. They're like, no, it's lovely, like, that. Best, yeah, friends.
They really, but it really helped with this relationship, I think, in the show.
Definitely, definitely. Killing things clears mind. Because again,
this was actually the last scene that we shot with Mark Addy.
Oh, really?
It was kind of a bittersweet thing because it was such a great scene, and it was also his last day. Again.
The girl will die, and I'll hear no more of it.
Don't kill me.
I saw Mark Addy yesterday, actually.
Strangely. Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've just been in France with him.
What?
At the,
Wow.
Again. And Sean and Nikolai. We did the thing. We did the press thing.
Oh, the press thing.
So when I started
TV
scene.
Festival.
Where was that?
Wow. Harry, were you asked for that? I wasn't asked for that.
No, I wasn't.
France, huh?
No,
France,
I was sitting by the phone, waiting.
Wow.
Monte Carlo.
Interesting.
Hey, there she is. Hello.
I look so elvish here, I think.
This is your
Elvis?
Most
elvish.
No, no. Oh, no. Elvish.
Elvish.
I think this is your most elven scene.
Indeed. Orlando Bloom, move out the way.
People keep saying, oh, you look a bit like Legolas. I was like, oh, we tried so hard not to make me look like Legolas.
Don't say that loud. You can't say that out loud. They get annoyed.
Now, what were these eggs made of?
We should have had a manicure, right?
They were heavy, these eggs.
They're very heavy. I think they're made
really
of
heavy.
Some kind of resin.
Yeah?
They were, like, seriously, quite heavy.
Because this is, about this time, your hair starts changing a lot. It gets much more
Dothraki.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it does,
when
yeah.
When they pull it all back, yeah.
They use the hair as a kind of a way of showing sort of my stage of Dothrakiness, if that makes sense.
Although in this scene, I remember Michelle Clapton, our costume designer, came to me and said she wanted to put you in one of your original robes so that she's kind of owning her, you know, as she becomes a dragon.
Yeah.
She's sort of owning the Targaryen heritage.
Yeah.
And she's less Dothraki here.
Yeah, coming into my own.
And I think this is the first time she discovers
any kind of magic at all. You're hurt.
Well, there's also that in that very first scene when you get into the bath and they're like, it's too hot, milady.
We changed that. Do you remember it didn't turn into a bath scene? It ended up turning into they were just dressing my wounds.
No. Yeah, but then the very first scene back in Pentos, after I leave, having felt you up.
That's just because you've made me completely numb to everything because you're complete and utter.
Well, it's also the big. It's the first clue that there's something weird between you and hot temperatures.
No, that's true. I can.
And whether
my
you've always been taking hot baths or whether it's just I don't know.
What I genuinely believe is just because she's dead inside.
I was talking to someone, we just watched episode 10 together the other day, and when you walk into the fire, and he was like, yeah, but she didn't get burnt by the egg, she got into the bath, and he had
no
books, and he was spotting all the clues. He didn't think you were going to die when you walked in the fire, he knew there was something about that.
Yeah.
Not too fast.
Come on, Doc.
When are you going to tell him?
The boys.
Not now.
The lads.
Blood for blood.
Come on.
You need to make the land.
This is like the last bit of fun that the boys have.
Yeah.
Before all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, this is the last time they're boys, really.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Lannister put his spear through your father's leg.
I thought Isaac did a great job of riding. We kind of had a riding double for him, but then we just kind of ran him around with a
long... Oh, yeah, that's him?
Yeah, it's sort of a combination of a rider and him.
It's your duty to represent your house.
What a great kid.
Isaac is amazing.
Yeah.
He's so sweet. He's like the biggest gentleman I've ever met. Genuinely ever met in my entire life.
Yeah.
He's so charming. He gave me like half his fudge the other day. He just went out and got it from Belfast.
He loves fudge.
Yeah, he loves fudge. He like gave it all to me.
Will work for fudge.
Wow.
It's funny because
I would never give my fudge away.
On this day, we had so much to do, and he's so mature and so prepared.
Mm.
You think of him as an adult actor, and then I looked across the way, and he was kind of like playing with a stick and hitting a tree. You know, he's a kid.
But he is a kid.
Yeah, it's cool.
He's awesome.
Oh,
This is beautiful. Where is it? Where was this filmed at?
This is outside Belfast, out in the woods. This is a location that's been used a number of times for Game of Thrones, but we kind of just kept repurposing
it. Did they
by the
dress
river?
The same forest to make it look like Beyond the Wall in the opening sequence?
My brother is with me.
That's a different estate. It's a different part of the same estate.
Okay. How cold was it that day?
There's Natalia.
That day's not so cold, believe it or not. This is the introduction of the Wildlings, and that's Natalia Tina.
She's crazy.
She's incredible.
She's also the lead singer of a fantastic band.
Yeah, the Wicked. What does she call it? Gypsy Dubstep?
Yeah, Funkabilly. But what's the band?
Funkabilly.
What's
wrong with
you? You're some kind of cripple.
Yeah.
I'm Brandon Stark of Winterfell. If you don't let me be, I'll have you all killed.
She's great. I asked her on the day, I said, what's your animal? What's the animal that you're intoning? And I said, is it a cat? And she said, oh no, a raccoon.
Nice, good girl.
Smart,
that was great.
I loved that it was cold because you don't have to CGI the breath, which always, no matter how much fun a movie has,
I loved the cold as well.
CGI breath always looks false, and I don't know. And wearing those really heavy, thick costumes.
But also the fact that up
really
here,
lucky.
These people, they just live in this cold. They're so used to it. They don't shiver anymore. There's just a kind of certain gruffness about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took me a while to acclimate to the weather. The funny thing is...
It was uncommonly cold there, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not used to that weather, really, there.
Shut up. Drop the blade.
No, don't.
Do it.
I'll never forget the day that I was riding on top of this, like, hill, and I was genuinely wearing barely anything, and the whole crew
you
were
barely
in, like,
wore anything
four or five layers. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Thanks very much for that one. Yeah, you guys.
Yeah, I wouldn't
lucky.
Want to be wearing what you wore during this weather.
My skin. Yeah. Tricky. Ooh.
Great sound effect.
Good shot, Alfie.
I love that they set up with that new scene where Bran's learning the different sigils in the house and all that kind of geeky stuff.
Good.
It just really fleshes it out. And in the background, Theon is just showing you what a great archer he is. And just sets that just a little quiet nod that makes sense of the scene, so it's not quite too convenient. It's what he would do. He'd track around the back and...
Yeah.
Alfie was so nervous about drawing the bow and making it look real, and then, of course, once the camera was on, he was completely masterful and could do it without looking.
I've seen Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves a few times. Yeah, definitely.
What if he'd missed? He would have killed you and cut Bran's throat.
You don't have the right
to... what? To save your brother's life? It was the only thing to do, so I did it.
I love reading the second book and then going back and watching Alfie in this.
Knowing where he's going.
So much more about, like, his family, where he's come from, all about. Yeah. He's fascinating.
I can't wait to see the Iron Islands.
Oh, yeah.
Sick. I think it's gonna be amazing.
What a set that will be.
Now, that's something that Belfast will work really well for.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And here they kind of plant the seeds of
that. Boom, look at it. Oh,
dope.
You can see
you actually were about 50 feet in the air there.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been a pretty bad fall.
This reminds me of a bit of Avatar, the veil.
Right?
Yeah. You just need one of my dragons.
Weirdly, the guy who designed that, I can't remember his name, the guy who designed not the robotic spaceship stuff, all of the landscape stuff of Pandora, worked on the pilot. He was taking some time off after doing Alice in Wonderland and Avatar, and he did some small kind of crew work for the pilot that we shot in Morocco. And I met him at the wrap party, and I said, what have you been doing? He says, I designed this thing for James Cameron. And I was like, what?
This thing.
And it was incredible. Yeah.
And there's my Navi girl.
He is so awesome, Peter.
I know.
Every time he came on, I think my mum, like, literally wet herself laughing.
Yeah, Kieran.
She just thinks he's really awesome.
He does a lot of theatre in London. That's the thing about this show. You got to fill those smaller parts with great actors.
People who suggest the whole world outside that scene.
Yeah, people don't do that often enough. They just fill out the smaller roles with
people. But that's why it's good. It's made by geeks who love detail.
Yeah, it's all people who care about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter, but just make a decision and go with it. Oh,
right. Yeah.
All this sword play was amazing. Miltos, who's a theater actor, was so prepared. And Maisie... who's actually right-handed.
Yeah, I know. She learned it left-handed.
Wait a minute. She's actually right-handed, and she learned
because Arya Stark in the books is left-handed, so she learned all of these fights
left-handed. Oh my god.
Yeah. She's amazing.
Give the girl an Emmy,
amazing.
Man.
Tell me about it.
Wait a minute, and that's her choice.
Yeah, it's her choice.
Wow.
She's just so dedicated.
I was sitting next to her in the read-through for episode 2 when she's got get rid of Nymeria, her wolf, and she's got to throw the stones, and she just started weeping. And I was sitting next to her in the read-through, and I said, "Are you all right?" And she was like, "Yeah, I hate doing that scene."
Oh, my God.
I need to step up, man.
Yeah, step up, right. Game Boy. That's so funny.
This is my also top line.
You are fearing for your father.
Oh, wait, it goes on a bit. I'm not going to make the same mistake as last time. About the god of death. I remember talking to David about that.
Not today,
like,
or?
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, I came up with that. And he really wanted to make everyone know that was his.
And his name is Death. And there is only one thing we say to Death. Not today.
I love it.
Where is he from?
He's from London.
Oh. He lives in East London, but I don't know.
So that's an a Game of Thrones accent. He's
no, that was a wonderful day, Amelia.
Oh, yum. Yes.
Here we
yum,
go.
Yum, yum.
By the way, Amelia, some reason, this is my wife's favorite scene.
Really?
Yes.
Boom, good girl.
She brings it up quite often.
Really?
Talk us through the heart. What is that made of?
She has to eat the whole heart.
Okay, so the heart, I had a taster of the heart when we were filming another scene in Malta. They assured me it would taste of quote-unquote gummy bears. I, having the biggest sweet tooth on the entire planet ever, I mean, I could just eat pick and mix all day long, was overjoyed at this and was just thinking the whole time, how am I going to do some good acting to make this look like it tastes really gross? Then the day comes round and it tastes really gross.
Perfect.
It's just...
What was it made of?
Did you have a choice of the flavour?
No, I didn't. It kind of tasted of bleach, though. Do you remember, Dan? Do you remember when I was like,
I didn't taste it, but...
You didn't taste it. No one tasted it. Do you remember what I kept, like, genuinely trying to vomit?
Yeah.
And then they kept going up to me, like, what do you want for lunch? I was like, you got to be kidding me.
That was it. That was a rough day.
You had to eat it all day.
It was a crazy day.
And
yeah,
I ate
25 of the things.
Well, because they gave you one, and then when they cut to a different shot, they'd give you a slightly smaller one, as if you'd eaten down to it.
Yeah, yeah, but then every time... It's that last shot where I genuinely had to swallow like a massive piece every time.
And they've got to keep, didn't they have to keep all the, make it sure it was still full of juice so it never dried out?
Yeah, and then the things that were kind of like arteries were like little bits of dried pasta, so like uncooked pasta, so you had to kind of chew down them.
Al dente.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's real.
So if she threw up, Khal Drogo would just...
It wouldn't work.
No, the baby would either... Nice. Okay, if I had thrown that thing up, then it would mean that I would either be having a girl or it wouldn't be a good baby. Like, it would be sick or it would be the, you know, not healthy.
Or a girl.
But not only did you not throw up...
Which would be terrible.
You ate it so well. It is the stallion
who
mounts the world.
It's the stallion who mounts the world.
See, in the book, just after this, you go and wash off in a lake...
And then
are taken roughly by Khal Drogo.
Yeah. Two, three, and I'm done.
Yeah, literally, it was three, wasn't it? Yeah, in the book.
it's literally
one,
that.
One, two, three, and he stands back.
And that's it.
The world. The stallion is the Khal of Khals.
I love all the stories that are happening in this scene.
So
you really feel the love between Daenerys and Khal Drogo.
Jason was amazing. He always tried to be in my eyeline for this so that we could keep that, like, stare. Oh, God, I kept getting this wrong. To the point where I had the sides.
No one would ever know, though.
They would. We've got to do it right.
How did the Dothraki language come to you?
Just learning it and learning it and learning it and learning it some more.
We did rehearse in English.
Jason was kind of fluent.
We did rehearse in English, yeah, exactly, because the English is mapped onto the Dothraki.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of knew what I was saying. Well, that's why I knew what I was saying.
I love that look you give him there.
Yeah, because I know that he's about to go, oh, God, you're so heavy, you're so fucking heavy, oh, my God, you're bringing bleeding. That was literally what he was saying. And do you remember the blood was so sticky? I genuinely kept sticking my arm to my other arm. Or, like, I'd stick my arm to my leg, or my leg to the floor.
And Viserys
or everything to my coat.
Viserys is gone. You know, when I first read this egg scene, which is not in the books, but it's referred to, because obviously it's from your point of view, I was really not sure about it. It's great that we need to kind of see his point of view. Why does he lay it all out for Jorah? Why does he open his heart? Why does he show such weakness when he really couldn't understand why he did it? And we had these great chats. And then we had a really good discussion with Benioff, I think. Mm. And I was like, I've got a sword in this scene. And this is the big thing about it. If I wasn't the way I was, I could just take him out if I really wanted to. But yeah. It shows just how much it's all kind of talk. But he doesn't really believe, or he doesn't have what it really takes. And then we came up with this idea of, actually, if you really want to punish Jorah, don't talk about the fact that he sold slavers. Go for the jugular and talk about, I see you looking at my sister, knowing where the stories go. And that suddenly made the scene really interesting and really personal, because I know this guy. I've been riding with him for months. And that suddenly opened it all up.
And this is the first time that you talk about that as well. This is the first time it's ever mentioned that there's any kind of dubiousness going on between
you. And the fact that he might be the one guy who noticed, I thought that was really interesting.
And because I don't clock this at all.
No.
I really don't
believe.
Well,
you're too in love with Carl, yeah.
Yeah, like it's only in the market where it was vague. Do you remember it was vaguely suggested at?
Yeah, well, yeah, and he's going through his own kind of issues of betrayal and fighting with his feelings for you.
Yeah.
But it's so underplayed, and he holds such a lid on it. But you look, and you can just see it.
Don't think I know what you want.
We had to double on this scene, didn't
we?
I don't care. You can have her. She can be queen of the suffrages and dine in the finest bloody horse parts, and you can dine in whichever parts of her you like.
I do think this is my favourite scene of yours, Harry.
Yeah, even better than that one where my head goes on fire.
Yeah, even better. Well, because it is, it's the first time we really see, well, apart from you and Roxanne in the bath.
Oh, you love that one. It was nice to do this scene with Ian when we talk about you all the time, and this is actually just about us and two guys. And
we talk about you all the time.
But to do it nose to nose, and you know, when you're doing that and the camera's on your shoulder, there's nothing else in your eyeline, and you can just really give it to him and be absolutely... Mm. No, I really enjoyed that.
And just trying to get out of that room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why the take, I think, we went with him is one where you'd like, just like, throw everything and just get out of there. And it suddenly had this energy. He looked like he was really trying.
Mort! Mort! Mort!
Were you wearing padding,
about
Peter?
Oh, no. I was pretty scraped up. I mean, Michelle's costume is pretty leathery and protects you a bit, but doesn't protect the bumps and bruises.
Mm. What was his little dildo made of? What is that?
Oh, that's steel. No, it's... I kind of wished it was a little bit stiffer. It kind of bent and...
It was leather. Yeah, we tried to scrape padding. It up and make it look a little more gnarly, but it was new.
Yeah, there was a touch of a Keystone Cop quality to it. But at the end of the long day, I'm glad it was as padded as it was.
Was this the funny little set on the car park bit?
In the parking lot.
Yeah, I always wondered what that was. Is this what the sky cell was?
Basically, we're looking out over the trailers and the crew's cars. And
yeah.
And onto the site of the place where they built the Titanic.
Yes,
Titanic.
And we all know the future of that.
Was his scar real?
No.
Because I never met him.
No, I mean.
No.
No,
but some people had scars.
You can see why he got the part,
Some people did have scars that were real. Don't be mean.
And then they were drawn in a little bit to highlight the scars that people already had.
That was the great thing about our makeup guys.
Yeah.
He celebrated everybody's scars and kind of drew them up.
To the point where for that bath scene, we were talking to Paul England, the makeup guy, who's done all of Ridley Scott's films. He's just
amazing.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. We love him.
And you came up with this slightly random idea. I quite think maybe Viserys has got a scar on his nipple.
I remember. And then weirdo.
Well, just because I thought it would really, I don't know, there's something about
this
it really fit.
Relationship
and then
really
he,
weird, by the way.
And he just goes and designs it. Working with these amazing skilled artisans who will just go and play and sit for a few hours and work it out and just do it.
Yeah.
No one thinks twice about it. It's lovely to be able to make stuff up and then someone will go and make it.
And if you can't get away with that in this environment, this sort of genre.
Fantastical.
You can push the limits a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm a vile man. I confess it. My crimes and sins
are
beyond.
This is a tricky scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was strange. I felt like there were so many people in the room and so much language for me, and it was like doing a play.
But there's a
it's weird when you get into, you go from such intimacy to suddenly you're in a huge room with 100 people and it's oh boy.
Yeah.
And I think he's really, you know, I think he's really vamping more than anything. He just wanted to get out of that sky cell.
Yeah.
And then he's thinking on his feet.
Yeah,
he's
going to
figure out
yeah.
how he's going to get.
Well, yeah, Peter, did you know before you got into that room what you were going to do to get out of this?
No, I think it's just thinking on your feet.
But that's why it's so great that it almost doesn't work.
Right.
That if Bronn hadn't suddenly stepped up, you genuinely, you'd be down that hole.
Well, we were talking about that in terms of do we want to tip the hat to the audience earlier than the people in the environment realize that I'm having everyone on. And we didn't want to tip the audience off early, like a little wink.
Yeah.
So, no, I think it's perfect.
I mean, we tried that, and I think it was your...
And then we kind of came to
better.
The place where
there's that shot there of Bronn smiling, and now he gets, and now it's open.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as you see Bronn smile, it's sort of...
As soon as you see you do a wanking signal, then you know that it's...
Which is hilarious.
International sign of joking.
Yeah, exactly. International sign of joking. Think you're doing...
Yeah.
Confessing my crime. You know, young Robin Aaron has become a bit of a cult hero.
He's quite something.
I met a guy last night at a party who said, we, quote, make the bald man fly in my office.
He's so cute. He wears the thickest little glasses, and sort of when he takes them off,
you've had your little joke.
His vision is a bit impaired. So.
Yeah, so you'll see Kate Dickie holding on to him. I said, keep a good grip on him because we don't want him stepping off the edge. There's no guardrail there.
This was the beautiful set. This set is right next to the throne room set.
Yeah.
On the soundstage, isn't it?
Which is
Gemma is extraordinary.
She's incredible.
I just loved when we'd be on location how she would blend the existing castles and wherever we were and add on to them, and you couldn't even tell the difference between what was 1,000 years old and what was built earlier that day.
Yeah,
it's like the tent, all the stuff in the Dothraki tents, like the egg scene, is built right next to the keep where Jaime and Queen Cersei are caught by Bran, next to that tower.
Yeah, which is awesome.
And just the beauties and the details. It's like what she would pay attention to stuff the camera might not even see, but it just adds to the reality, yes.
Completely. But when you're acting in it, you're in that world. It's amazing. I think that's when I first got, like, full-on goose pimples when we were filming my first week. I'm a newbie. I haven't done anything before this, really. And I remember I walked in to do that into my tent. I was just blown away. I was like,
you can actually play. Can I pick up this box?
Yeah,
it's real. Open it. Oh my God, there's stuff in
it. There's stuff in the box. Yeah. Exactly.
I know.
It's crazy.
One door or the other. No need to bother Lord Robin. Except for the moon door is filled with cardboard boxes.
It was filled with cardboard boxes in the event that someone fell.
There's only so far you could possibly go.
No, indeed.
Yeah, the big high tech crash pad, which surprised me, was piles of cardboard boxes.
Yeah. Let me be your champion.
The honor should be mine. I love the fact that there's something about the Vale that it's basically Wales.
Yeah.
And Savardis has got its like Welsh accent. I think that's perfectly. Yeah. It just seems right.
Yeah.
There it is.
Savardis. I love how he just.
It's how he sits down. He's still a bit breathless because he can't make him fly.
I love how sickly he looks as well.
He always been fed on milk, breast milk since he was 12.
No, I know,
Shameful to slaughter such a man and call it justice.
Agreed.
You demanded a trial by combat.
Now I demand a champion. I have that right, same as you.
I have to say that Kate Dickie, I was so excited that she was playing Lysa because I saw that movie Red Road she did. I wouldn't be too glad, sir. Extraordinary movie if you haven't seen it. This independent British film called Red Roads.
Yeah, Andrea Arnold.
And I had just seen it about a couple months before we started the season, so I was very excited. She's an incredible actress.
I think they completely look like sisters as well.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Incredible. She's lovely as well.
She was very excited by her attachment, her false, shall we say, frontal attachment. And then when I first met her, she was sort of exposing her attachment. And it was sort of, you're like, hello, aren't these, my tits great? Sorry to ruin it for everyone out there, but those were not.
Weren't real.
I think it is great prosthetic. In that moment that you actually, there is a second when even Tyrion thinks, this is it. Like, there's nothing. And then suddenly.
Yeah.
And then Bronn goes.
Yeah.
Beautiful shot down there.
And Robert on the hunt.
Indeed.
And they're on a pedestrian hunt, not a horse hunt. They went out on horses in the first episode, didn't they? It was episode two, they go out for a hunt after the...
Yeah, and that's what the horses when they start chatting about the fact that they're going to kill me.
Yeah, this is a little mini hunt.
Rather.
How'd you achieve that effect, to white it out there? Is it just
overexposure? We just shot this at a particular time of day when the sun was coming up over the hill. So and what we did is we
good
ran...
Timing.
Matt Jensen, our DP, just ran like 80 feet of track. And we just kept having them walk the same spot, not to ruin the magic, but we had them keep running the same spot and just kept tracking along with them.
Yeah,
it's really good against the light, especially to see the difference between Lannisters and Baratheons, just to see two of them, they're very dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to see Lancel in the background, just how different and how clearly Joffrey is from a different seed.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
Every time you see him next to each other. And actually, in this scene, you can see they could be brothers. Half of Westeros fought the other half, and millions died. I thought this is Renly's best speech, and
when the mad king
slaughtered women and babies because the voices in his head told him they deserved it.
You learn so much from just this little bit.
Yeah, and everyone tells you about other people's backstories. They just flesh it all out. And here you learn about our dad.
Yeah, crazy. And then I love that how good this shows the brother relationship as well between the two of them.
Yeah, the rivalry. And Gethin, you know, Renly, of course, wants to be king when Robert dies.
But he's been given, after that scene in episode 5, he's really been given the confidence to stand up to his brother.
Exactly.
By Flynn.
Yeah, exactly. Good old Geth.
Robert's getting his drink on.
Yeah.
Or is it poisoned?
Most everything in the Riverlands. Our fields, our granaries.
Now, this scene was a follow-up to a scene which we cut from the script, which was the kind of sacking of this big Riverlands.
That used to open the episode, didn't it?
Yeah, it used to open the episode. And for a number of reasons, for time and budget, we cut it.
And lit them on fire.
I felt like the aftermath of the scene, and this actor was so strong that imagining it, I thought was pretty great. I was really happy with the way.
It is tricky because it begins now. The scale of the story goes beyond the sets that we show. So you have to then understand where River Run is, where Casterly Rock. That's why the opening sequence gets kind of useful.
Fish.
Just nice to be able to start imagining things for yourself. And it's about hearsay and rumour, and you're not really sure, is he actually dead or is the mountain gone up there? He sounds like him.
And that's when the details come in so beautifully, though. That's when it's kind of backed up with his different costume. Are they flying
a city? Mm. And why it's so crucial that we met him at the tourney.
Exactly.
So if you see, you hear a mountain of a mountain, okay, I know that guy. And actually, can you remember he's related to the Hound? And it all feeds back in.
And it's great because we only get to watch Ned react to it and we see what he would do. And of course, it's his principle in his sense of right and wrong that is going to bring him down. The
mountain. And to see him here stand up and absolutely do the hero thing, which everyone is shocked by, and then compared to that, to see him compared to the last thing he says in episode 9, when he's just gone a complete U-turn and actually accepted the King's Landing way. I'm sure you have as well.
Can you think of any reason for Lannister?
But I don't know. That's why I love this story, because you're so. It's not like, yay, hero. You're kind of at the same time going, but you idiot.
Yeah, I know, but you applaud him, but you think he's stupid.
But at the same time, you're like, you just signed your life away.
That would be almost as brazen as attacking the hand of the king in the streets of the capital.
I cannot give you back your homes or restore your dead to life.
But perhaps I can give you justice in the name of our king, Robert. Lord Beric Dondarrion.
Now, where's Beric Dondarrion from? He's in the books.
Assemble 100 men and ride to Sir Gregor's keep.
He does something else, why is that so familiar?
Well, he'll go out after the mountain.
He comes back.
He comes back.
Yeah.
Robert of the House Baratheon, the first of his name. King of the Andals and the First Men. Lord of the Seven Kingdoms and protector of the
realm. And this, of course, is the big miscalculation on Ned's part, which incites the war. The false knight, Gregor Clegane, and all those who shared his steps the whole thing up.
Yeah. I denounce him.
Amelia, do you like to know what happens to the future of your character, or... I mean, do you know, and have you read all the books and all of that?
How far are you talking?
The entire thing, I mean, or...
The entire thing.
what George has written, I kind of like to be a little in the dark because, I mean, I like to know obviously what my history is, but I haven't read the future books yet. I'm reading them as we go along. Inform Tywin
Lannister that he has. That's exactly the same as what I'm doing. Just, I don't know, but I think, well, I know that you're the same. Both our characters have such a journey to go on, and so much happens to us, and we meet so many different people that I truly have to be with her as it's going on. Otherwise, I can't trust myself that I'm not going to play 10 steps ahead, which we are completely not aware of.
Yeah, I don't know. I go back and forth on the issue. I know. One of my favorite directors, Mike Lee, the actors in his movies don't even know anything. And I think that it works so beautifully for it. Gold wins wars,
not soldiers. Well, I think it's a style choice, really. I think with Mike Lee it works because it's all so much based on improvisation. So he captures those beautiful moments.
Right.
And they shoot in chronology.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of
which we don't get to do on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I just don't want to tip my hat to anything that I know, really. I don't know.
Definitely. I keep hearing rumors about stuff as well.
And then it lets the audience work out what your journey's been. You don't have to plot it. You just play moment and play it and then go, well, you must have changed. You know, okay, you tell me.
Exactly.
That's not your job, I suppose.
Exactly. We're adapting books. You don't get that with films. You've read the script. That's it. That's all you have.
Right.
Whereas we have just an insane amount of knowledge at our fingertips.
It is useful. When I, even though I knew, obviously, I'm only going to be in the first series, Brian Cogman, who is the kind of Gandalf of the crew, he was really useful in saying, I said, which bits of later books might have parts that tell me a little bit more about my history? And he goes, well, there's a great chapter in book 3 from Jamie's point of view character where he reminisces about when he was in the Kingsguard for your father. You get to see what life was like in Kingsland and just little bits and bobs. So little chapters are actually, if you've got someone who knows it, like an encyclopedia, like he does.
Yeah.
That other people reveal stuff about you that you can steal.
Definitely.
In which case, I must have gone there.
Yeah, and you can piece things together for yourself.
And parts from Pentos or other free cities, and we must have gone to those free cities when we were in exile.
Exactly.
And then you can, that was really useful. There's just so much to explore.
Yeah.
And maps that people draw online, and you can use a map.
Yeah, amazing.
But I found this great Braavos map, because we were in Braavos.
Yeah.
Really, just to know what it looks like, it's really nice.
Yeah.
I thought Jerome Flynn did great in this fight.
Yeah.
You can see there's a little nick on his forehead, which unfortunately is real.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Really?
Yeah, Brendan, who plays Ser Vardis, was doubled a number of times because he had a helmet on, and it was tricky to see. But Jerome had to do all of his own fighting. You know, you can get a little dinged up.
He is fantastic in this.
Yeah,
way.
I think
like,
he's
seriously
so
fantastic.
Spot on.
Yeah.
He's, absolutely.
It's a really
brilliant.
Tricky story to tell in the book and in the script that someone is really clunking, someone dancing around to actually make that look realistic and conceivable.
Yeah, without the narration of a book helping you out.
But I think the choreography, that you can see exactly why he wins.
It's a rope-a-dope, they call it. He's tiring him out. He's just
exactly.
He's kind of taking
George
the path
Foreman.
Of non-resistance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart cookie.
Buster Reeves and the stunt team is just extraordinary.
Buster's wicked.
Yeah, man.
I think Gaspar was one of the stuntmen who was in the armor for a lot of this fight.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're just extraordinary to watch.
Yeah.
As long as you're at a safe distance.
This is the other thing I love about this show. Someone else wouldn't show that.
You've got to have the blood. HBO's got to have the bloodshot afterwards.
No, this
please,
is Gaspar
dropping. Please, I've done a Narnia movie where, like, thousands of people die and there's, like, there's no blood.
Not the bloodshot, but the fact that he does go through with it. He kills him.
Yeah.
You know, it's that moment of tension where you're like,
if you're to be a hero, you have to show mercy. No, not in this.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
If you want to survive.
And he goes, you didn't fight with honour.
Don't fight with honour.
No. He did.
Great.
Nails it. Absolutely nails it. He's spot on with his character, I think.
It's the whole idea of surviving.
And it's also great.
It's hard to be
think...
heroic when you need to survive.
Exactly.
Yeah. What
but
use
there's
the
no
principles?
Apology there.
Can I make the little man fly now?
Not this little man. This little man.
And there's a man down at King's Landing trying to live with principles, and he doesn't end up very well.
And I love that you do actually pay your debts, by the way, Peter.
Best beard in the show.
Best.
Ronda Naki. Yeah. And it's also nice afterwards that it isn't cheesy and you guys are best of mates. In next episode, when you guys are walking through the woods, he's like, by the way, I don't like you, I don't need you, I'm just trying to get out of here.
I love that scene. It's just practical. I love that scene. So good.
Lannister always pays his debts.
And you see why these are the men who get anywhere in the Seven Kingdoms, because they're just surviving.
Yeah, he's a gun for hire.
What's going to happen to Mord now? He's got loads of cash. Where's he going to go?
I don't know.
He could do all kinds of stuff.
Maybe he's going to have a sex change.
Possibly.
Possibly. Just
do some
thought.
Plastic surgery on a scar, maybe.
Yeah, definitely get some plastic surgery.
I talked to Dan and Dave about it, but I was like, I'm walking out of there. Where am I going? And I have nothing now.
You've got 1,000 miles.
I've got a guy with a sword.
I do.
There's
think
no
that. You
real
just
like train you could get.
Gold.
But I have nothing.
You didn't even get a glass of water on the journey.
What do I do?
You walk out, and there's not even like a shall
you can't
I go
even
left,
take a
shall
horse.
I go right?
You've got to climb down a
I'll
mountain.
Just keep going.
Maybe a blanket? I don't know.
Obviously, it's
come
impossible to shoot, but those scenes in the book where you've got to when you've got to climb up to the Eyrie with those on a
with
donkey
the baskets.
And with the baskets.
I loved that. I
just
was
just
truly
to see
gutted.
How high it really is up there.
I was so gutted
you
that
get
that
down
wasn't
there.
In. I'd say that wasn't
in. I mean, yeah,
in.
It's almost. I mean,
that's when my imagination went mental on the books. I was just like, getting carried away.
I love Sansa Stark sassing her septa.
She's a septa.
Sassing my septa.
And how her hair has got more and more, like all the King's Landing ladies, it gets more and more ornate and ridiculous.
I know, it's insane.
Jack. My lady. The
Jack
coolest.
He's so good.
He smokes a pipe, people.
Shut up.
I mean,
he's
the coolest kid. I mean, he's not even a kid, a guy.
He is a guy. He
talk
looks
about
like a kid,
great
though.
Acting. Or somebody just so different from the part he plays.
And I'll never forget his name. Jackie Gleason.
Oh, Jackie Gleason.
I know.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
I love this together, the two of them. They're such teenagers.
Like if I'm, strangely, this with the sunset, this always reminds me of Star Wars.
Really?
They were Amidala.
I thought you were about to say Dawson's Creek.
We hope to make this look like Princess Bride. Like, I wanted to make it really romantic because I thought, even though Joffrey's such a weak person and such a creep, he really wants to have a girlfriend. And they will be married
in the throne room. Yeah, you can see the scene being written down in Sansa's diary at night, being like, dear diary, he gave me a necklace today. I love him.
Kind of reminds me of when I met Harry.
I can imagine.
I gave him a necklace.
You gave him a necklace?
That was a
you?
Good time. Still have it. Wearing it now.
Oh, dear.
Do you understand me?
Still I love also the little shots to Susan looking on going, this kid's a little creep. Stay the hell away from him. She can't say anything.
And this kiss. Oh, sweeties.
I was wondering if this was Sophie's first screen kiss.
Yeah.
People go for 14. Many, many years without a screen kiss.
Look, she's so happy. My first screen kiss was a rape.
Nice.
By a 6'5" man.
By a 6'5" Hawaiian.
Stop! Oh, Esme.
Esme
this
Bianco.
This scene is mental.
Roz is getting out of town.
I covered my dad's eyes when this game was.
Did you?
I knew it was coming. I was like, Dad, don't wait. Dad, don't wait.
Esme is game.
She's really good.
She manages to kind of get around the whole cast pretty much in terms of.
She's seriously good though.
Yes, she'll be very popular until some fat lord comes to visit.
I was talking about this repetition of her part. I think I was talking to my wife about it. But I was like, isn't it strange that there's only one prostitute? But my wife said, well, it'd be true if you were in a small town. There would be just sort of one or two of them.
She's obviously the top one.
It's not like you're in New York City or something where there's, like, a lot more.
Yeah, we'll range to suit every taste.
I thought about that, and it does work.
But also, I'm sure in Winterfell there's loads of toothless old ones, and she's a beautiful young flaming redhead one.
Yeah,
who's
definitely.
Got the chat as well, and
the
guys always like.
Old ones.
Although some people prefer
Harry's
that.
Out of
some
view.
People prefer the toothless ones.
Some people.
May I just add, she's holding on for dear life to that turnip cart.
Can I just say that was a really good catch as well?
Yeah, not bad.
By her.
Well, that was a bit of a help with CGI.
Ah, okay.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you're thinking about the catch.
I do. Oh, my God. Join the guys club, why don't I? Jesus.
I was like, it looks so realistic. Why would you do that?
I'm sending you both back to Winterfell.
What? My CGI bill for season two will be huge.
Mine too.
Is that where you're sending us home?
What? No.
Please, Father, please don't.
You can't.
I love this argument. Yeah. I love it when
you know
she...
I know exactly
what you're going to say.
I want you back in Winterfell for your own safety.
Can we take Syria back with us?
Who cares about your stupid dancing teacher? I can't go.
I love that the girls are able to do this really contemporary domestic scene, but it feels completely truthful and correct. You know, it doesn't feel like anachronistic at all. I thought they were so honest and great. And
I don't want someone brave and gentle.
I think sisters began arguing like this in about 1200 in England.
Golden lion, and I'll give him sons with beautiful blonde hair.
The lion's not as dun,
dun, dun. I love this moment.
No, we had it. You missed it. You were chatting.
No. You were talking about Maisie's line, and I was talking about Sophie's line. I don't want someone. I want him.
Oh, and I was talking about the bit when she goes, seven hells.
You idiot. Seven hells.
They're I like all the little reference together. To the gods when you know she goes, gods be good and seven hells and gods, but they grow fast. Just you know, just slip it in because that's how you would swear. Or
do you remember we kept doing it on set?
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did. You're allowed to be a geek. It's fine.
Be cool, man. Be cool. Did they? They didn't write in every page in this book.
No,
they can't.
Well,
a lot of them.
You'd be surprised. A lot of them.
It's a big job.
I have a book at some point, and I was looking through it. And
the one you're reading by the fire.
Yeah, exactly. The detail was extraordinary.
Insane.
Axel Baratheon, black of hair.
Do you remember in the read-through, Sean was reading this, and like after a while, he just stopped and was like. Oh, sod it. Like, he couldn't pronounce any of these names.
Yeah, it was so funny. He was like, do I have to finish? Yeah. Like, no, you're all right, Sean. Just skip it out.
Robert Baratheon, black of hair.
Because as soon as he knows this, and that changes, it makes you think, like, Christ, what's he going to do with this? This changes everything.
Yeah.
And they don't even spell it out and do some really horrible exposition. You just trust that the audience have followed all the clues to the point where they can handle this.
Yeah.
And he knows they know what that look means right there.
I genuinely think in the book, when I read that, I read it on the book on the plane and I actually closed the book and was like, no way!
Yeah, it's amazing how you don't see it coming. You think that shit's so... Yeah.
Oh,
I
boom.
Love this little shot.
Dothraki party time.
Of you guys laughing. That looks so fun.
Yeah, Roxanne was cracking me up. I can't remember what she said. She said it's a brilliant joke.
Oh, this is...
Here we go.
The scene.
Here we go.
This is it.
Here comes trouble.
I looked a little bit on the weekend before at some drunken YouTube clips just to look at some drunken walking. And I think I got a bit carried away.
Do you remember we... No, it was perfect. Do you remember
there
we sat in Maiden Belfast?
There's some fantastic videos on YouTube of people who just cannot stand it.
Yeah. Oh, get in there, dog.
Carl Raymond, that means the cart king in Dothraki. Because he's meant to be on a cart, he loses his horse.
The Sorefoot King.
No, the Sorefoot
King. I don't know why I remember that. Yeah, because you were forced to walk.
Yeah, exactly.
You walked.
The dancers were amazing.
The dancers,
they were so awesome.
I bumped into Coral the other day, weirdly.
Did you?
In Greenwich, yeah.
They're so cool.
You are no king.
It makes you think, how much English does he speak, Drogo?
Yeah.
He's clever, he doesn't let it on. But
I think he knows, like, enough, you know, of the common tongue to order in a restaurant.
Yeah.
He could get by on the tube.
He doesn't let on.
Which
he
does a lot. Where's the loo? Yeah.
They can't kill us.
I have to say, actually, on the day, I was a little bit anxious with this big, sharp sword.
Me too.
I know.
I was not anxious.
Yeah, I know. You weren't anxious about it. I felt it. Ow.
You really sold the drunken danger of the scene, Harry. Yeah.
But it's horrible when people don't think that they act very calm, but they suddenly will move, and you think you're kind of capable of anything right now.
I want what I came for.
Do you remember how many coats I had on during this scene?
Yeah, you were freezing.
Any time I knew that it was like below the shoulder.
Yeah, you're wearing big puffer jacket. You're wearing hot water bottles on your tummy there.
And there's Amarito doing simultaneous translation.
Oh, is this in Pain Hall? This is in Pain Hall. Oh, boy.
This was like the last week, I swear. The last week of us filming. I'll cut it
out. I've got funny little sweat beads peering down his forehead there.
I'm going to geek for a little bit. This moment is huge, by the way. As soon as you threaten my unborn child, that's it. That's the choice of me
what's he saying?
Cutting you out completely, and you're no longer my brother.
He says yes.
Yeah, and you just, yeah, it's fine. A lot of people would be very shocked. They're like, she was so cold. And you're like, yeah, that's it. She's taken enough.
You threaten my kid, yeah.
But men
shall tremble to
behold. Yeah, you sort of glaze over Amelia. It's really lovely.
Thanks.
You sort of get that sort of death stare.
Yeah.
It's pretty creepy, actually.
So the crazy drugs I was taking, man.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
That was all I wanted.
Good times.
What was promised?
It was easy to do that because, Harry, doing what you were doing, it was easy because you were providing so much. It was easy for me as an actor to just go, bam, I'm not going to give you anything then.
Yeah, cheers.
You know? No worries. But I love this with Jason.
Kuramai.
Kuramai. Great sound effect.
Oh, that's great.
Such a good sound effect.
There are two sound effects in this scene. I think we all know the second one.
Oh, yeah.
I won my crown! Ah!
You nailed it here. We love this.
We put in some extra screams and ADR. I thought there's not enough. We need some more.
Mm-hmm.
We had to put in a few more Danny's.
Yeah.
And that moment when she realises, when he's first taken, he's like, no, you misunderstood.
Mm.
At what stage does he actually get it?
Yeah.
Probably round about now, actually.
Yeah.
And he knows there's something hot coming his way.
Yeah. A lot of people have said that this gold melts too fast, but little known, actually, Dothraki hybrid gold, which this is, melts very quickly and solidifies very quickly, so it's actually accurate.
Nerd.
Love that, yeah. Geek.
I'm trying to help them out.
As I remember it, we had one shot at this.
Yeah.
We had three wigs to play with.
So good, I love this bit.
That's the bald cap. That's the cap now. We switched to the cat.
I love this sound. Boom.
I saw it on TV for the first time I heard that. I was like, whoa.
Do you remember how many times we took this shot down? Over and over.
It was such a dark room, and it came in so close on you, we had to have the focus absolutely perfect.
So yeah. That was a bald cap makeup and then CGI over.
Mm-hmm.
They had this crazy smoke machine strapped to my chest and then to my back so they could have real smoke in a shot coming behind there.
He looked like a stormtrooper from behind.
Yeah. And what did that gold taste like?
I managed not to taste it, I think.
Well, that's good.
Gummy bears?
I don't know what it was made of.
Yeah, bleach.
Gummy bears and bleach.
Yeah, the classic Dothraki stuff.
And that was a sad day. That was the end of Viserys.
That was,
We took 2 days we shot that scene.
That's right.
Yeah.
I had a really good time, actually.
Yeah.
Was that the last thing you shot, Harry?
Not quite. I then had a pickup from a shot from episode one.
Oh, yeah.
It was meant to be. It was scheduled to be
when
the last one.
You were introducing me to Jason.
Yeah, exactly.
That CGI one.
Yes.
Well, guys, it's been really fun.
Yeah.
What a pleasure.
This is Dan Minahan coming to you from New York City.
This is Peter Dinklage coming to you live from New York City as well.
This is Amelia Clark coming to you live from London.
And this is Harry Lloyd also signing off.